Another episode of the Fancast Movies Podcast. My name is Eric Davis. I am the managing editor over at movies.com, and joining me every week, as he does, is Mr. Sean O'Connell. He is the movies content director over at cinemablend.com. And Sean, we have some monster Marvel DC superhero news. I think at this point, I think Marvel and DC need to just take this fight to the streets and settle it there, because they are just going punch for punch for punch for punch, at least when it comes to delivering news, delivering release dates. A lot of the news that they are delivering are concerned movies that aren't coming out for a while, so we don't know how they're going to turn out. But this episode of Fancast Movies Podcast, we have to dedicate it to Marvel v. DC. Dawn of holy crap, there are a lot of superhero movies coming out in the near future. That's what we need to call this. Let me start off. I'm gonna let you take DC. I'll take Marvel fast. Basically, Marvel announced recently that Captain America 3 is going to expand to include Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man, and they're going to introduce a Civil War storyline, which is a popular storyline that debuted in the comics in 2006 that concerns Iron Man and Captain America branching off into two different sects when the government decides that they want to make all these superheroes official, put something on the books. You know, this way, if you're a superhero, you have special powers. You got to come out. You have to say you have special powers, and you have to, you know, kind of listen to the government. And that causes some problems, from what I gather, between the two. I haven't read the Civil War storyline, so I know bits and pieces of it. But what I do know about it is that it grows, and it's something that Marvel can use to launch a bunch of other things and really change the dynamic of their superhero movies going forward, especially when you have this big movie like Age of Ultron, where all of these heroes are going to come together and form this tight bond in order to defeat the biggest enemy they've ever had. The next movie will separate them and divide them in a way that we've never seen, to the point where Iron Man is maybe the villain of Captain America 3, which I think is really cool. I think is a really cool dynamic. Meanwhile, only how many days later, Sean? Couple? Two?
Two, yeah.
2 days later, Warner Brothers delivers the following news. Sean, what is it?
Well, they map out their cinematic legacy between now and 2020. 11 movies, including Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice, explaining that the term Dawn of Justice means that we are getting a Wonder Woman movie, two Justice League movies, separated by 2 years, one in 2017, one in 2019, standalone solo films for The Flash, Aquaman, Shazam, Cyborg, and a Green Lantern reboot. These are extending all the way into 2020 when we're going to see Cyborg and Green Lantern. You know, when you step back and kind of looked at the pieces now that they're laid out on the table, we kind of knew a good number of these things. Like, we knew that they'd introduced Gal Gadot as she was going to be in Wonder Woman and Batman v Superman, and they were saying at the time there was potentially going to be a Wonder Woman movie. We've been hearing Jason Momoa's name attached to Aquaman, although he's been dodging that rumor in almost every sort of live experience that he's had. That's been confirmed now. They cast Ezra Miller from We Need to Talk About Kevin and The Perks of Being a Wallflower. Terrific actor. He's going to be The Flash in a 2018 movie. We knew that Dwayne Johnson was playing Black Adam in a Shazam movie. So that's taking us all the way through 2019. And in doing so and announcing all of this stuff, they mentioned that Zack Snyder is going to be the director of Batman v Superman in 2016, the Justice League movie, Justice League Part 1, it's being called right now. I'm not sure if it's going to be something different, in 2017. And he's also, I believe, confirmed to be the director of Justice League 2 in 2019. So, you know, these are all things that have been rumored for a while, and we kind of had little pins stuck in the calendar indicating that these things probably were going to happen. But today was the day on a very strange Wednesday where Warner Brothers, during a shareholders announcement, just decided to dump all of this. And I say it's strange because, like, not only are we not going through San Diego Comic-Con, which we kind of thought a lot of these things would be announced, but New York Comic-Con just recently wrapped, and they could have had an opportunity to really announce all this to the fans and claim some headlines. But instead, they – I don't want to use the word unceremoniously, because whenever you announce this sort of stuff, it's going to be a big story. They just kind of dumped it on people on a Wednesday. And it was like, hey, by the way, we're going to make 11 movies between now and 2020. And here's some major casting news in a press release, and have at it. So everyone sort of scrambled to their laptops, started writing up stories, started speculating, and doing what we do when superhero news drops.
It's a strange way to make this kind of announcement. But you're right. A lot of this stuff we already kind of knew. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. It's interesting to see how Warner Brothers is approaching it, whereas Marvel kind of debuted all of their solo movies and built up to an Avengers. Warner Brothers is going to give you Justice League almost right off the bat, while they're going to set it up in this Batman v Superman movie, and then you're going to get a Wonder Woman movie, and then you're getting a Justice League movie. So it's and then they're going to spin off solos from Justice League. Then you get a Flash solo, an Aquaman solo, a Shazam movie. I'm curious to see if if either of those characters show up in one of the earlier movies as well. And then you're getting Cyborg and Green Lantern, which they're sticking in 2020, which is smart because they can introduce both of those characters and work with them in a couple of movies before and see kind of how fans are reacting to them, because before bringing them back. Because Green Lantern, he just had a movie. He doesn't need a solo movie right now. And Cyborg is probably the lesser known of all of the Justice League. And so I think building him out would be good.
I have to assume that we're going to see these characters in these earlier movies.
Oh, yeah.
Probably Batman, Superman. I mean, Momoa has been rumored to be in that. We ran a story that Ray Fisher, who's been confirmed, the actor has been confirmed to play Cyborg. We had him showing up in Batman, Superman already. Now, I've heard through a couple of sources that Ezra Miller – is probably going to surface in Batman Superman also. I have to believe that there's going to be a pretty big component of Batman Superman that's dedicated to the introduction of all these other heroes, but I'm so curious to find out how. Because, earlier this week, we heard these rumors about where Wonder Woman's origin was going to be and how she's going to be the daughter of Zeus and she's going to have these mystical powers, which is great. I mean, that's totally relevant to the source material, but that's not the kind of person that can be dropped into the middle of the world that Man of Steel created, which was, aliens from other planets coming to our world. And we know Bruce Wayne is going to be this sort of grounded, realistic answer to who Henry Cavill Superman is, but they got to find some way to spin Wonder Woman into it and then all of a sudden introduce all of these other superpowered characters.
It's a lot. And it needs to make sense, and it can't compromise the story.
Right.
I feel like that's where Iron Man 2 got in a little trouble. If Marvel Studios ever had a period of time where they were sort of sidestepping and trying to figure out how, they knew they had something cool. They knew they had this universe that they wanted to build around, but they didn't exactly know the balance of putting information in that they wanted people to know about their future movies while also staying true to the story that they were telling in that movie. We felt it rocky in Iron Man 2, maybe a little bit in Thor, but then after the first Thor, I feel like they hit it with Captain America: First Avenger. That's when they hit their stride and they never looked back. Batman v Superman: Dawn of Justice, you're already giving us a new Batman, and now you have to give us a Wonder Woman, a Flash, an Aquaman, a Cyborg, all at the same time in one movie. That's a lot.
Someone brought up the Suicide Squad is also one of the movies that's been announced, and it's going to run in 2016, the same time that Batman Superman does.
Now, it's funny. Out of all these movies, that's the one I'm most excited about because David Ayer is behind it, and they're calling it sort of gritty. And I just think it's a cool concept, Suicide Squad, where the government – hires these supervillains on suicide missions, black ops missions, where if they survive the mission, they get acquitted, correct? And they're not going to be persecuted for their crimes.
Correct.
So, or and if they don't survive, well, they don't survive. And I just think that's a really cool idea. Not only is it a cool idea and a cool concept, and is David Ayer a cool director? He directed Fury that's coming out this weekend, and he is kind of a gritty director, and it's nice to see him branching out away from cop movies, because I feel like he's just been stuck in cop movie prison for his entire career.
Right.
But also, I think that this is a chance for DC to use what I think is one of their one of their gold tickets that they've been keeping in their back pocket for a long time right now, and that's Harley Quinn.
Okay.
Harley Quinn is a character where I see more Harley Quinns at Comic-Con than I do any other character, I feel like. Crazy Harley Quinn. It's a way to tie in the Joker without needing the Joker. And I feel like Harley Quinn is a character that it could go bonanzas and fans would go wild for. Do you agree? Am I the only one that thinks that Harley Quinn is the golden ticket in their back pocket right now?
No, she's going to be great. She could potentially be a really interesting character for them to introduce. But that's the whole point of the Suicide Squad, then, when they roll that movie out, is you're introducing characters that no one is going to know. You're going to have a team of 4 to 5 or 5 to 6 members where we're meeting them for the very first time. And it would be akin to, you know, Avengers being the first movie in your universe of just, here are all these guys and here's how they play together. And this is what makes them interesting. And it's going to have to be, I think part of the way that Avengers worked well is because when they brought Tony Stark in and he teamed with, you know, Chris Evans and Steve Rogers, we had this sort of background knowledge of who they were in these earlier movies, and it helped move that action along faster. And I hope that Suicide Squad doesn't have to be an hour of setup before we get to an interesting, you know, turn of events for that team to go after. But we'll see. I mean, because I don't think any of those guys are going to show up in Batman v Superman, which is going to be earlier that year. And I'm not sure, like, where that's going to go. Because here's the thing, like, by announcing these movies, and let's talk about this too, like planning this far out, planning through 2020, what if the Suicide Squad comes out and does as well as, although this is a lot to reach for, does as well as Guardians of the Galaxy? You're trying to tell me that Warner wouldn't want to try to get like a sequel to that property into turnaround pretty quickly, the way that Marvel's now turning out Guardians 2 relatively quickly because they realize they have a hit on their hands and a team with a lot of chemistry. And is Warner then going to move something that they announced today, or will they find more room for it? Because now they have 2 a year, and if they had to add a third, it's stacking the deck without realizing what they have yet.
Yeah, and no, I agree. And if you look over at Marvel's slate, they didn't do that. They've told us through Captain America 3. We know that Doctor Strange is in the works. We think it's going to be on July 8th, 2016, but they haven't committed to it. They've said, no, we're going to take May 5th, 2017, July 28th, 2017, November 3rd, 2017, May 4th, 2018, July 6th, 2018, November 2nd, 2018, and May 3rd, 2019, but we ain't telling you what those movies are for a while.
Right.
Because that's what they're doing. They're sticking – actually, well, no, we know July 28th, 2017, I think, is Guardians 2.
Right.
So yeah, Guardians 2 is one of those movies. But that's exactly what they did. They took all those release dates and said, we're not going to tell you what they are. And then, yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy 2 – Guardians of the Galaxy can come out, do a lot of business. And they're going to be, all right, we're going to give one of those dates to Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Right.
But if Ant-Man isn't as successful, you know, they're not telling you Ant-Man 2 is coming out in 2018, which it probably would, but they're not going to tell you that yet. So, and they're not even telling you when the third Avengers movie is coming out. So, you know, they're keeping it mysterious, but they're giving themselves some wiggle room.
Or what if Cyborg or Ezra Miller's Flash comes out and people just hate it? You know, they don't like the character. They don't like what's going on. It just sort of tanks. You know, you're telling me that Cyborg movie in 2020 is still going to be on the books? I doubt it, you know?
Yeah, no, it's interesting to think about. And it's also interesting to see the differences between hey, I'm all for a different dynamic. I don't want DC to do exactly what Marvel's doing. I don't think they can. I think they have to change it up. They have to do things differently. So I'm okay with that. I'm okay with welcoming this different dynamic that I'm not used to.
Yeah.
But what's also interesting is that Marvel is using their presence on TV to sort of weave in this larger universe that they're creating on the big screen. And so both can coexist and then intermingle with each other. Eventually, we could see maybe the characters from their Netflix shows. We've already seen Agent Carter. She was in the Captain America movies. She's going to have her own TV show. We've seen Agent Coulson. He was in the movies. Now he has his own TV show, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. They're going to play around with those characters in future movies as well. DC, on the other hand, they just launched a Flash TV show. He ain't played by Ezra Miller.
Nope.
You know, they have these other shows that have nothing to do with the movies. And you have to think, like, is that smart? Is that a wise move to make? Is it too old school? Is it not as forward thinking as it should be? You know, is it sort of just let's rush out to capitalize on the superhero trend because it's not going to last anyway? So even if we backed up and, you know, put out TV shows that existed within our big screen universe, well, you know, maybe, okay, we can turn around and have the first one ready by 2016, 2017. You know, maybe Warner Brothers feels like this isn't going to last.
I don't know. I think it creates massive confusion. And I'll use this as a parallel, although it might not be a perfect parallel. We just started watching Star Wars Rebels, myself and the boys.
It's a great show.
Have you watched Rebels?
I actually wanted to talk to you about it. We should probably do it on another episode I've watched both the movie and the first episode.
Right.
And I've been so curious to know how your kids were welcoming it and if they were really interested. They've seen the original movies. And I'm just curious versus Clone Wars, like where your kids are at, having been kids that grew up with the prequels.
They love this versus Clone Wars, which they kind of watched but never really got into.
And they grew up with the prequels, so you would think that Clone Wars would be more to what they're used to.
Well, they liked Anakin, and he was an interesting hero for them, but they love the tone of the new show. They love the tone of Rebels. They love the team. They think it's funny. It moves at a great pace. But here's what I was saying. Star Wars Rebels gives us a comparison point to whatever episode 7 ends up being. And if we all like Star Wars Rebels now and all of a sudden, and I'm starting to see some of these pieces, oh, this is what we've been waiting for. You know, this is a return to Star Wars glory. And then the movie comes out and it isn't, for whatever reason, if Abrams misses the mark and everyone's like, oh, why didn't you do what Rebels did? You know, I think the Flash movie, if there's an existing Flash somewhere and people dig the show and everyone's like, oh, they're taking the time, they're building out a world, they've got interesting characters, and then the movie comes and it rushes things or it does, I think it's very strange to have conflicting properties that exist in one in television, one in movies, because you're asking your fan base to sort of split and divide and I think compare them to each other.
Yeah, it just must not be their intention, you know, and they just don't feel like it's going to cause confusion. At least in the Gotham front, it's not going to cause confusion because it's a prequel, so we don't really need to, you know, that's fine. But stuff like The Flash.
It'd be silly for them to have like either a Superman or a traditional Batman show on the air right now when they're so clearly prepping Henry Cavill and Ben Affleck.
Well, they need to take advantage of what's hot.
Yeah.
And so you can't fault them for saying, look, this is a hot trend right now. We don't know how long it's going to last. Let's get as many freaking superheroes on TV as we can. And, you know, yeah, Marvel had a little bit more time to sort of set their stuff up. And I think they kind of took people by surprise when they knocked it out of the freaking ballpark.
But I don't doubt that Green Arrow isn't part of this lineup because the Arrow show is so successful. Because, I mean, they're rebooting Green Lantern and taking that chance. But if Arrow wasn't a TV show, I'm willing to bet that Green Arrow would be a character that DC would be trying to develop into this Justice League. And maybe they're just not because they don't want to sort of mess with the successful TV show that they have. It's a weird dynamic.
No, it's true. I mean, Flash isn't successful yet, so they can play around with it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm waiting for one of these heroes, and I think it's going to be Marvel, and I think it's going to be one of these Netflix shows, is I'm waiting for one of these DC or Marvel to introduce a hero on the small screen and then bring them to the big screen.
Right.
That I think will be fun to watch.
It would make a lot of sense for it to be Arrow because Stephen Amell is getting a ton of publicity and he gets a lot of raves for the work that he does on Arrow, it would make sense for them to do that. In a way that I hope if the Netflix show is really successful that they bring Daredevil over, because I want Daredevil to be a part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the films. And if you're introducing him in Netflix and it's part of that continuum, why wouldn't you bring him over?
Yeah, it's true. And it's going to – those Netflix shows are going to be really interesting to watch because I don't know what to expect from them. You know, you don't know what you're going to get. When Marvel's on the big screen, they're very PG-13. When they're on primetime, it's primetime-y. You know, they're not, you know, doing anything crazy.
Right.
Netflix, you can get a little crazy if you want.
Yes.
But how crazy will they get? I'm curious to see the tone. I want to see the tone of these shows. I want to see how it fits in, how it feels.
I like D'Onofrio as the Kingpin. That's pretty demented. Twisted.
Oh, D'Onofrio is perfect for it.
That could be great. So of this slate of DC movies that were just announced, which of these do you think you are most excited for?
I personally, Suicide Squad, just because it's different and it's cool and it's a really cool idea. Although I agree with you that I don't want to see an hour of them setting up each villain and the crimes that they've committed. Like, you know, here's a 12-minute sequence of one villain doing something really bad and then him being captured. Here's a 12-minute sequence of another villain doing something bad and being captured.
Right.
And then it's 48 minutes in, they finally have all these prisons and these guys in jail. And they're like, okay, this is – we're going to send you on crazy missions. So I'm curious to see how it plays out. I know our friend El Mayambe over at Latino Review, he's read Suicide Squad. And he has very high things to say about the script.
Okay.
So I feel like they have a tight script.
And, did you read – did you see – you didn't see The Expendables 3 most recently?
I did not.
I mean, they did a really great job of introing Wesley Snipes' character in an opening sequence. And I think you can almost do that for something like The Suicide Squad, where you just sort of montage it and let them know, like, this is the way that these guys have come together and these are some of the things that they've done. Maybe like an A-team kind of intro where each person gets a little sliver and you figure out enough to be like, okay, I'm on board. Let's go ahead and tell this story.
Yeah, and all you have to do really is throw in and sprinkle some familiarity to people, because maybe, you know, one of them had a crime against Superman. One of them had a crime against Wonder Woman. You know, so this way you can kind of pepper those names in just so people will connect the dots a little bit more.
Right.
But David Ayer is an exciting director. I think he's fun. I think he's cool. He does some crazy stuff. So I'm excited about that movie. I mean, of course, you know, I want to see a Justice League film. I've wanted to see it for a long time. There was almost one a while back. But Suicide Squad just sounds like a cool movie. I mean, it's a superhero movie with suicide in the title.
Right, right.
So right off the bat, you know, you're going to get something darker than anything that you've had before. And I'm okay with going a little dark. You know, I'm okay with Warner Brothers having a tone. It's funny. After this whole slate was announced, people were coming on Twitter saying, I like Man of Steel. I thought it was really good. You know, I'm excited. And I believe that, too. I'm a big fan of Man of Steel. I like a darker tone when it fits, when it works. And it works, you know. And it all goes back to saying, hey, I'm totally fine with a completely different dynamic with these Warner Brothers DC movies, because don't do what Marvel's doing. Don't give us carbon copies of Marvel movies, because then we're going to be drowning in the same freaking movie year after year after year. Do something different. Give us something different to look forward to.
Right, right. Yeah, I hear that. And I guess for that reason, too, that's why I think the Justice League movie is probably the one I'm most looking forward to, because by the time we get to it, we'll have a better grasp on who these characters are and how they fit together in this world. And I think that, you know, the problem that faced the Avengers and the problem that will continue to face the Avengers and that now faces the Justice League movie is, what is the threat that forces these people to unify? And it was Loki in the first Avengers one, and I think Ultron's going to be a decent one too. And the one thing that we didn't talk about when we were doing the Marvel part of this is where it puts Thanos, because, you know, they teased Thanos at the beginning of at the very end of the first Avengers, and now they're putting him on the shelf. You know, he's not the big threat for a while, at least. So who's going to be the big threat that makes the DC Warner Brothers heroes unite? Is it going to be Lex Luthor? Are we going to get someone like Darkseid, or one of the bigger Doomsday, like could be Doomsday, could be one of these heroes that they pluck from that mythology. I'll be curious to see what they come up with. And you know, the style of Batman Superman also is going to give us a lot of insight into what the Justice League movie will do too, because it's going to be Snyder. And I didn't love Man of Steel. I'm still keeping a very open mind for Batman Superman, but I'm not sure if it's because it's Snyder. I like half of the things that Snyder has done, and I've had problems with half of the things that he's done. And I don't know if he's taken on a lot for this, to crank out at least three films between now and 2019. Well, let's see. No, three. Batman, Superman, and the two Justice League movies. And if he's the Nolan or the Kevin Feige of the DC universe, answering a lot of questions about who's helming the next few pictures, I'm not sure if he has any say into that. I'm not sure what his big role is as the godfather of this universe.
Well, is he the godfather of this universe? We know he's directing Batman v Superman and two Justice League movies, but is he the DC's answer to Kevin Feige? Is he sort of that guy, that shepherd, that godfather? Or, you know, who it does DC have someone like that? Is someone sitting there sort of connecting all the dots for them and saying, this is what we need to do?
He's more the Whedon, right? I mean, not saying that he's Whedon. Believe me, I'm not saying that he's Whedon, but he is more the Whedon right now as the guy that Feige has tapped to say, do this. But we don't know who the Feige is.
If there is one.
If there is one, right, exactly.
We don't know.
We thought it would be Nolan, but he kind of backed away from that.
Yeah, I think they're going in directions that Nolan – I think Nolan would rather be Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
And not get wrapped up in years of superhero movies.
And I think we'd all rather be Christopher Nolan.
Yeah, we would rather him make Interstellars.
Right.
And not be sitting trying to figure out how The Flash and Aquaman tie together. Yeah. But yeah, yes. You know, it's interesting to see. And I'll be honest with you. Those 2 months in 2016 between Batman v Superman and, I guess you got to call it, Captain America v Iron Man.
Right.
Because that's what that movie is shaping up to be.
Yes.
Those could be – will those be the two biggest movies, back-to-back movies that we've seen? I don't even remember when. I mean, yeah, we got the Avengers and Dark Knight Rises in the same summer. But does that compare?
Well, it'll be temporary because we'll get to a point eventually where we're going to have a massive Star Wars movie, you know, running side by side or back to back with something else huge. I don't know what, but think if we ever get to a point where Marvel and Sony solidify a deal to bring Spider-Man over to a Marvel film.
That'll
basically become, you know, a big movie on the horizon. If it's Avengers 3, let's say, then everyone will sort of point to that. And then whatever's – like say it's like the Boba Fett movie, you know, coming out 4 weeks after Avengers 3 that has Spider-Man in it. I mean,
I think it's a great time
to be a geek.
I think that has to happen because – and we'll leave it off here in terms of the future of these superhero movies. Both Marvel goes up to 2019. DC goes up to 2020. That's sort of where they're drawing the line here and saying, let's get a little farther out and see if the people still care about superhero movies in 2020. I don't know if that'll be the case, but what will be the next thing that they'll have to do to make to keep these relevant, to keep people interested? I think they need to cross over. They need to bring Spider-Man into the Marvel universe. And that'll help his franchise too, because it'll give him some more street cred. We talked about this the last time, but, I think that's what needs to start happening. What do you think is the next game changer?
You're probably right with that, because that's the next big thing. Like, everyone's making a big deal about the fact that there is going to be a female-driven superhero movie in Wonder Woman, but that seemed inevitable. I think we're eventually going to have a Black Panther movie, and it'll be a big deal when you can point to the fact that we have a minority African-American hero leading his own film. But even that, I mean, I think we're heading in that direction and it's going to happen. The idea of the crossover of studios moving as many mountains and cutting through as much red tape as they have to make a crossover happen is kind of insane. And I think it's inevitable also. I think we're getting to that point where the business model is just going to force the studios to think this way. But it's very strange in the fact that the more they keep building up, 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 and out, 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 and forcing them to think bigger and bigger, I think it hurts the potential for these single standalone solo films like a Fantastic Four reboot or even just a single. Like, you can't just do a solo Cap movie anymore because we want so much more out of our movies that now Cap 3 has to have Iron Man in it. You know, so if you tell me that, like let's just say that, like, all of a sudden somebody wanted to do a Punisher movie, who I think Punisher's a great character and could be used in some really interesting ways. But you couldn't have just Punisher. You'd have to have, like, all right, well, who's Punisher going to be with? And what major villains are they fighting? It's no longer just, I can give you this one movie. Like, when they finally do Thor 3, it can't just be Thor anymore. It's going to have to be Thor and the Guardians of the Galaxy fighting Hulk on some planet.
Yeah.
It feels that way anyway.
Yeah, well, we'll have Ant-Man. Ant-Man is sort of by himself.
And Doctor Strange, too.
And Doctor Strange.
But, I don't know, it's starting to feel like the days of the solo standalone one-offs, they're just not as exciting anymore if we get to see massive multiple heroes on one screen. You know, I want to keep going back to, as long as the story is interesting and the casting and the directors are great. But, those films sort of have their own momentum to sort of swim against.
Yeah, when you get a taste of the big time, mm-hmm. it's hard to go back to the small time.
And yet the balance of there's too much going on in the film is the death of a lot of these movies. Yeah. As someone who loves Amazing Spider-Man 2, I know that the argument against it was there was too much going on and not enough time dedicated to all of it. So, yeah.
But that's what I think is smart about characters like Ant-Man and Doctor Strange, because they are in different sort of genres and can be inventive with their action in ways that the other movies can't.
Right.
And so I think those are two very smart movies to come after something like Avengers Age of Ultron, which I think is just going to be the mother load of superhero movies. And they're going to follow that up with two movies that kind of explore the Marvel Universe in different ways. And I think that's why they've been so successful, is because they can keep doing that, especially Guardians of the Galaxy. People want that. People want to keep seeing superhero movies, but they want to see them delivered to them in different ways.
Right.
And I think Guardians of the Galaxy does that. I think Ant-Man will do that. I think Doctor Strange will do that. You look over on the DC side, Wonder Woman, The Flash, Aquaman, Shazam. I don't know if you can kind of play with genre with those movies. So I'm curious to see. I'm excited to see it. I want to see what they do. And until we see more product, we cannot declare a winner in Marvel v. DC, can we?
No, the winner is us. The winner is us. Comic book fan movies, comic book movie fan people who now know that you're going to have massive movies to look forward to for at least the next 6 years and without a doubt beyond.
We won.
Yes.
We won, Sean.
Raise the victory flag for all of us.
We're raising it. Thank you very much for joining me. And you know what? I'll leave the superhero conversation by telling people, you know what? Go see Birdman in theaters. somehow weirdly related to superhero movies, but I saw it yesterday. Sean, I don't know if you've seen Birdman yet.
Next week.
It is fantastic. It's my favorite movie of the year.
Oh, stop.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It is... It's just a tremendous movie. I can't wait to watch it again. So it's hitting limited release this weekend, I think, probably New York, LA. So if you're in one of those cities, you know what? That's what you need to do. Go see that this weekend, because it's just a fantastic movie all around. Sean O'Connell, he is the movie's content director at cinemablend.com. Go over there. They have a lot of catchy headlines. I always find myself going through my RSS feed, and I have to click on like 8 Cinema Blend stories because the freaking headlines are catchy. So go over to Cinema Blend tagline, catchiest headlines on the internet. Of course, my name is Eric Davis. I'm the managing editor at movies.com. Hey, you know what? You can come over there too. Why not? We talk about movies as well.
Please do. Yes, please do.
And you know what? Go enjoy your weekend at the movies and see Birdman. Ka-ka!